I am here at Commodity Classic, first day of the Commodity Classic in beautiful Tampa, Florida. With me is an old friend, Clayton Yeider, former Secretary of Agriculture, former U.S. Trade Representative, speaking at an Ag Issues Forum sponsored by Bayer Crop Science. Now, Clayton, gosh, it's been 20 years, but I know you've still been keeping track of policy and everything. Tell us what you're doing right now.
Well, I'm associated with Hogan Lovells, which is one of the largest law firms in the world. We just recently merged with a firm in the United Kingdom to create a monstrous firm with 40 offices scattered around the world. So I'm doing a lot of trade work with them. We have clients, both U.S. companies and foreign companies from all over the world that we deal with. So now that's how I keep up with everything.
That keeps you busy, I'm sure. Now, you were speaking to a huge group of broadcasters and agricultural journalists. What was your main message? What was the main thing you talked about here?
Well, a lot of it related to how we keep American agriculture profitable in the future, and the key to that really is the international side. I talked a lot about the Farm Bill, too, that's coming up next year, because what happens there is going to have an impact on agriculture, too, obviously. But what's happening internationally, globally, today is just so fascinating that we've got to talk about that. Unfortunately, a lot of folks in agriculture are not yet up to speed on what's happening there. The world is changing so fast. I mean, you know it in agricultural communications, but you see it in agricultural trade as well. And basically what's happening in Asia today is just an explosion. What we're seeing is an absolute explosion in demand for food. We're going to have a huge challenge in feeding the world as a whole in the future, but it's so much different when one looks at Africa as an example, or Bangladesh, where there's so much poverty and you have to figure out what do you do with all the poverty that exists with billions of people in the world. And then in contrast, you look at countries like China and India, where the middle class is just expanding so fast that there's a huge challenge in feeding them. It's not because they're starving, it's because they now have a lot more money to spend and they want to spend a good chunk of it on food.
Well, what do you see as the most important trade issues right now? We've got a couple of pending free trade agreements that have not been approved yet. What do you see as the most important trade issues facing the U.S. right now?
Well, we ought to deal with the pending ones, Cindy. Even though there's not a gigantic amount of trade involved with them, there is some, and a lot of it is agricultural, more agricultural than anything else, especially in Colombia, South America, which is our best market in South America. Korea is the other one that's a very good market and can be a lot bigger and a lot better if we get this done. And the president administration has been sitting on these agreements for two solid years now because they haven't wanted to challenge the labor unions who don't like them. They don't like trade agreements at all, and they especially don't like the Colombia trade agreement for alleged human rights issues. The problem that the administration faces and the rest of the Congress faces with the unions is that every time Colombia does something to satisfy whatever demands the unions have, they simply raise the bar and have 10 more demands. And at some point, the president has to exercise some leadership and say to these folks, enough is enough. I want to get these agreements approved. I'm going to send them to the Congress. Vote for them.
Now, you talked about the Farm Bill. We're seeing a new Congress, and a lot of talk about cutting budgets, and everything is on the cutting block. What do you think might happen in the 2012 Farm Bill?
We're going to get cut some in agriculture. There's no doubt about that. When you're facing a $1.6 trillion budget deficit, you know, the largest in the history of the country, something has to give. Regrettably, nobody yet seems to be willing to really deal with that problem, which means they need to take on entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security being the big three. But if you're not going to do that, then, of course, everything else is going to take a hit, and agriculture will be part of everything else. So there will probably be a hit in there. But I don't think it'll be as devastating as a lot of people in agriculture fear. There's certainly going to be a reduction in the total amount of dollars that will be devoted to farm programs in the next few years. And what we don't know is how much that cut will be. And we don't know whether it might even be imposed, if you will, through a budget resolution. So all that's going to unfold here over the next few months. The Farm Bill doesn't really have to be dealt with until next year. House Ag Committee Chairman Lucas from Oklahoma has indicated that he'd like to wait till next year to handle it. By that time, hopefully some of these budget issues will at least be clarified to some degree, and he'll know how much money he has to deal with.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on another issue very important to the corn growers especially, and that's ethanol. And the food versus fuel, when we talk about feeding the world, they're taking a big hit from people. The prices are high now. We've got stocks down a little bit, and the whole that ties into the whole trade issue when we talk about the tariff on imported ethanol. Mm-hmm. Just your thoughts on the corn ethanol industry.
Very contentious issue right now, and there'll be some push by people saying, why are we eliminating competition from foreign sources here? And then in addition, this is for the ethanol industry is exacerbated by the concerns of the livestock, poultry people, the dairy people, who are not happy with the price of feed grains going into their livestock. And they see a third or so of the corn crop going into ethanol production, and they're not too pleased with it. So they'll weigh in, too, especially if there's some financial stress in that industry, that composite industries. Right now, they're doing okay. But one never knows how long that will last. So all in all, the ethanol industry is probably going to be scrutinized as much or more in the next year or so than it ever has in the past. That may well jeopardize, for example, going to E15 as one issue in this whole combine of issues.
Mm-hmm. Overall, though, what would you say about the mood? The future of agriculture in the United States?
Oh, it's really good, excellent. And I'm a born optimist, as you well know, Cindy. But from a demand perspective, we've never seen it this good globally. The U.S. demand is okay, but it doesn't change a whole lot over time. But as I pointed out in a zillion speeches, only 5% of the people in the world are in the U.S. The other 95 are outside. And fortunately for U.S. agriculture, a lot of those folks are in a position to buy food. Way more today than when I was Secretary of Agriculture 20 years ago. I mean, I didn't dream at that time what might happen in countries like India and China over the next 20 years. And we're the beneficiary of that today. I would guess, and nobody really knows for sure, how many people might be construed as middle-income consumers in those two countries. But I suspect the number is twice the population of the U.S. That's a lot more mouths to feed and feed well. The mouths would have been there anyway, but the difference is that whereas 20 years ago they had no money, today they have substantial financial resources.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go because okay. I think somebody else is waiting for you. Great to see you again, Clayton.
Okay.
Here at Commodity Classic, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.